Well, you guys doing all right? Cool. Well, it's kind of ironic. I think it was 2-3 weeks ago. I met with Dara, had coffee with Dara because she basically sent me an email saying, "Hey, I'm applying to YWAM in Los Angeles, and will you do a recommendation letter for me?" I said, "Absolutely." But I said, "Can we grab coffee? I just want to hear more about it and more of like why you're going, et cetera, et cetera." So we did, and you know, she shared. I just felt the Lord all over it, even though it was so fast. I just felt grace on it. So I got excited for her, and we met, and I said, "Yeah, sure, I'd love to do your recommendation form." And then she had a prophetic word for me. I mean, you know, you're in a prophetic culture, like you meet somebody for that. She's like, "By the way," you know, and she began to give me a word, and it honestly, like, it was one of those words, like, we're in a culture where we get a lot of words, don't we? It's like and not that we rate them, like, scale from 1 to 10. There's some words that are like, that's great. And then there's some words that so land in your spirit that you just know it was a rhema word straight from the Lord. And this is what she said. She said, "As I was asking the Lord if he had a word for you, the first thing I heard was Chuck E. Cheese." And I thought it was funny, but then the thought continued, and I heard their slogan, "Where a kid can be a kid." I feel like the Lord is reminding you that you have permission to be a kid with him. And he's actually encouraging you to do that. In the beginning of Matthew 18, Jesus says that whoever humbles himself like a child is the greatest in heaven. Then in verse 6, it warns against the one and then in verse 6, it warns against causing one of his little ones who believe in him to stumble. And I felt like there was an emphasis on the part that says little ones who believe, because it represents the point that we believe more when we're kids. Children usually have greater faith for things, and especially great faith in their father. With that, I just feel like the Lord is saying he is restoring your childlike wonder and not only your ability to dream, but also to have faith in those dreams. Isn't that awesome? So with that, Dara's not allowed to go. No. But it was one of those words that so landed in my spirit. And it's honestly, it was already something that I was pondering. It was just this whole idea of having childlike faith. And what does it look like to really be like a child before the Lord? You know, and it's like, it's amazing. I love when God does this. It's like Joey was up here like preaching half of my message. Anne Marie during worship was like preaching half of my message. And I leaned over to Anne. I'm like, "That's my sermon too." So, you know what I mean? But it's because the Lord's weaving this theme. But honestly, in my spirit, it wasn't just a word for me, like that I've really been chewing on, has really been ministering to me. And really like, being a catalyst to this journey of discovering more of the kingdom. But I felt like there was a corporate invitation for us to step in just to a new realm of childlike wonder in the kingdom. And I want to read from Matthew chapter 18, the same scripture she was referring to. And I want to read it from the Passion Translation, because this is absolutely amazing. Matthew 18, starting in verse 1, listen to this. It says this, Matthew 18, verse 1. It says, "At that time the disciples came to ask Jesus, 'Who is considered the greatest in the kingdom realm?'" Who is considered greatest in heaven's kingdom realm? First of all, I love that the disciples had the audacity to like approach Jesus, the Son of God, and say, "Jesus, by the way, like we've been talking about this. Like which one of us is like the best?" You know, they're like, they were literally arguing about which of them would be greatest in the kingdom, okay? And Jesus doesn't rebuke them for doing this, because how many of you know that we're all designed and wired to want to be great? I'm going to try this side of the room over here. Because how many of you know that we're wired and designed to just be amazing and do great things? Do you guys want a second chance? No. He didn't rebuke them for doing that, but he truly showed them the path to greatness, didn't he? Because listen to his response. Verse 2, Jesus called a little one, everybody say little one. Jesus called a little one to his side and said to them, "Learn this well. Unless you dramatically change your way of thinking and become teachable and learn about heaven's kingdom realm," listen to this, "with the wide-eyed wonder of a child, you will never be able to enter in." Verse 4, "Whoever continually humbles himself to be like this gentle child is the greatest one in heaven's kingdom realm." Isn't that awesome? And honestly, I don't think this is just like talking about like getting to heaven. I really don't. I think it's much more than that. I think what Jesus is talking about is humbling ourselves to the degree that we can actually access kingdom realities and the whole atmosphere of heaven here on earth. And he's saying whoever humbles himself like one of these little ones is greatest in the kingdom. I don't think he's talking about this like distant, like when we go to heaven, who's going to be the greatest. That's, you know, I love that we're going to heaven, but how many of you know that we're called to get heaven here on earth now? And you know, this is the name of our church is Kingdom Life. We believe that we can see the kingdom advance in the earth now. But here's the deal. I've just been pondering just the reality of the kingdom and just this thought, like how much of the kingdom can we actually have now? Like how much can we have now? Like I really believe there's just been this escapist, like defeatist mentality in the church where the church has just been like, and I know not everybody, but parts of the church are like, if we just kind of hang in there, things are gonna get really, really bad, things are gonna get worse. But if we just hang in there, Jesus is gonna come like snatch us up and rapture us and get us out of here. And like there's this defeatist, escapist mentality that I believe has crippled the body of Christ on planet Earth. So I've been pondering this whole thought, like how much of the kingdom can we actually have now? Because here's the deal. You know, there's this church theologian that honestly so much of us have been influenced by, whether we realize it or not. It's this theologian named George Eldon Ladd. And he was a professor of theology actually at Fuller Seminary in Pasadena, California in the 1950s. And he was honestly one of the biggest proponents, at least at that time, for what we would call kingdom theology, or this like the idea that the kingdom is actually here now. And he taught this idea and made it popular, especially in like Pentecostal charismatic streams, that when Jesus came to earth, how many of you know the kingdom came to earth with the person of Jesus Christ? The kingdom came when Jesus first came to earth, and it's been coming. How many of you know it's been coming ever since? Like we are the body of Christ. We talk about this all the time. We are the body of Christ, right? Like Joey and I, like Joey's like probably the toe. No, I'm just kidding. We are Christ in the earth right now. Like we are, it's like it says in 1 John, as he is, Christ, seated at the right hand of God. As he is, so are we in the world. Like we, like guys, we are Jesus in San Antonio. And see, I love like the testimony, like when Abby was in the restaurant and we hear these testimonies of just loving on people. Like today I was at the gym and you know, it's like, I'm doing my workout. And it's like, I'm not always great at it, but I just try to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit. I'm like walking from one machine to the other. I see this guy and my heart just leaps. And I'm like, God, is it word for this man? So I take my AirPods out, and I'm like, excuse me, like just spur the moment because I'm walking past him, like this is my opportunity. I said, excuse me, I don't know if this means anything to you, but I'm a Christian and I'm actually a pastor in the area and I feel like I have a word of encouragement for you. And he goes, okay. And just then I saw like his Christian tattoos and I was like, thank you, Jesus. and I began to prophesy over him. I'm like, man, I don't know. I just feel like the Lord wants you to know, you just have like a really pure heart. I'm like, you have a really big heart for God and you have a really big heart for people, and he really likes that. Super simple. As I share that, he just goes, oh my gosh, thank you so much. He said, I've been struggling in my faith, and that's, I could just tell, like, it's exactly what he needed to hear. And like, we are Jesus in San Antonio. But I've been pondering this idea of how much of the kingdom we can have now. And George Ladd made popular this phrase when it comes to the kingdom. Because remember, when Jesus came to earth, the kingdom came, and it's been being advanced in the earth ever since through you and I. But he had this phrase, because the kingdom came with Jesus, but he taught it won't come in its fullness until Jesus returns again in the second coming. So he had this phrase that goes like this: the kingdom is now, but not yet. It's now, ever since Jesus came to earth, but it's not yet in its fullness, because it doesn't come in its fullness until Jesus comes. But my question is this: how much can we have now? Because here's the deal. I really believe that even though we've embraced the kingdom is now but not yet message, the majority of the church has been whispering the now and shouting the not yet. And I think it's time to flip it. I think it's time for us to whisper the not yet, but but yell and scream, the kingdom is here now. Because I don't know about you, but I want to be, if I'm going to be guilty of anything, I want to be guilty of believing that I can have more. I want to be guilty of believing that I can have more and more of the now. And like, man, the testimonies that have been happening lately is just, it's stirring my faith. It's like, it's stirring my childlike wonder to see the kingdom advance. Like, I'm not going to stop sharing these testimonies. Like, for those that weren't here, like a few weeks ago, we said, you know, Casey shared this testimony. But let me back up a little bit, because I forgot to share this part the past couple weeks. A couple weeks ago, as you know, we share testimonies like every week. We love to hear goodness of God testimonies, but we kind of got away from it a little bit. It's like we kind of forgot. It's like we just haven't been doing testimonies. And then more and more people were like, can we do testimonies? We're like, good idea. So we're like, let's make sure we do testimonies tonight. And it had been like, I don't know how long since we did them. Okay, the Festi of the Bays were out of town. Some of you remember this. So I got up and, or no, Shane was speaking. I think Shane was speaking. You were speaking that night. And I go, and I'm doing transition. And I said, hey, we've been forgetting to do testimonies. We want to do testimonies tonight. The moment I said it, it was a day like today. The moment I said it, it just downpoured, like outside. Like it actually rained. It just went for like just during the testimonies. And we were kind of like, I think God likes testimonies. But Casey shared the first testimony. She said, we've been praying for this person that has cancer. And she's like, we didn't even have that much faith when we prayed. But a few days later, they got word. They were completely healed, cancer free. And then, you know, we said, okay, we want to release the testimony. So if you have cancer or anybody in the room, or you know somebody with cancer, I want you to stand. So people stood. I had Casey release the testimony. Michelle's not here tonight. Michelle texts me the next morning. I'm at the gym. She said, my mom just texts me. I can't stop crying. She said, Sunday night, I stood for my grandmother who had a tumor on her collarbone so big that you could see it. She said, I didn't even really believe. And by the way, she had lost her sister-in-law to cancer, so it was just really raw, and it was just already playing on her emotions. She's like, but I'm going to stand. How many of you know that was faith, just the fact that she stood? She said, but I'm going to stand. She stood. She didn't even tell her grandmother that they prayed for her or her mom. The next morning, she texts me, I'm at the gym, and she said, Chuck, I can't stop crying. My mom just texted me to say she's at my grandmother's house, and they can't stop crying because they can't find the tumor that was on her collarbone. It's completely gone. I really believe, see, when that happens, it's the kingdom. It's the kingdom now. It's everything that's not of God bowing its knee to the name of Jesus. You know, and then just, you know, and then Cam got healed the week later of like a year and a half of taking narcotics due to a car accident, having a screw in his neck. A year and a half, he's a dentist. He couldn't work for a year and a half. A group of us laid hands on him right here. His pain went to completely zero. The next morning he went back to work, and he's been back to work with zero pain ever since. Because, so it's just, I don't know about you, but it's provoking me. How much of the kingdom can we have now? And Jesus said the key to accessing or being great, or let me not twist it, but I believe it's safe to say a key to experiencing more of the kingdom realm on earth today is to become like a little child. It's becoming like a kid. And the thing about kids is, and Anne Marie was like just sharing this like during worship so much, is like kids just believe. Like kids just don't, like they don't have the religious baggage and the skepticism. They're like, well, I don't know if that was God, you know? I think they're faking that manifest, you know, whatever. Like they just believe. Like I remember before, like years ago, I was on staff at a church in Canada. This is even before I went to Bethel, and I was an associate pastor at a church. And I remember our children's pastor was bringing like a different person of our leadership team in every week to talk to the kids. So she's like, Chuck, will you come talk to our kids about the baptism of the Holy Spirit? I'm like, absolutely. So like, I'm like, kids are amazing. They're fun. They're the funnest people in this church, and the Holy Spirit, I'm in. You know what I mean? So it's like, I go in and I'm just like share a little tiny bit from the book of Acts, and I'm like, okay, for those of you who have never been filled with the Holy Spirit, you're gonna get filled right now. They're like, awesome, you know what I mean? It's like they just believe. So like I shared a few stories. I said, okay, we're going to pray. Some of you are going to see visions. Some of you are going to feel the presence of God. And some of you are going to speak in a language that you've never spoken before. It's amazing. They're like, awesome. So I just like teach a little bit. I pray a simple prayer. They start speaking in tongues. Kids start getting baptized in the Holy Spirit. They start having encounters with God. Why? Because like kids just believe. It's like they take people at their word. You know, Anna worked at in the nursery at Bethel, and she has stories like when she was working at the nursery at Bethel in Redding, California. Like kids would just come in and just like have encounters, like it was normal. Like there'd be kids in like children's church or in the nursery just like staring at like in the corner, like staring off into the distance, and they were trained. I mean, you know, like kids are like God's moving through kids when like the staff are trained to ask the kids good questions. So they were trained to go to the kids that were having encounters and be like, oh, what do you see over there? I don't see anything. And they'd be like, well, I'm seeing a whole bunch of colors in the corner of the room. Like they were seeing angels. And they'd be like, okay, like what do you think the angels here for? I think they want people to feel safe. Like, awesome, do you want to pray that everybody in here would feel safe? They're like, okay. Or sometimes they'd be like, I feel like they want to heal the sick. They're like, okay, who do you think they want to heal? I think they want to heal Johnny. Like, there's just like, it's just matter of fact, they just believe God. Like, I love in the healing rooms. It's like, there is no like religious bone in their body. They'd be like praying for like somebody with cancer. With one hand, they're like eating a granola bar, you know? You know, one hand they're eating a granola bar, the other they're laying hands on sick, they're getting healed. And they're like, can I have some more snacks now? You know what I mean? It's just life, because they just believe God. And Jesus said, unless you become like a child, you're not going to experience more of the kingdom. So what if we just like tweaked and positioned our hearts a little bit to like, you know what? I'm just gonna start believing God more and just taking him at his word. Like, I love the story of Mary, like in the Gospels. Remember when like the angel Gabriel showed up to Mary, and like Mary is like a virgin, she's never been with a man. Angel Gabriel shows up and is like, Mary, you're blessed and highly favored. And by the way, like you're gonna get pregnant by the Holy Spirit, and he's gonna be the Son of God, the King of the universe. It's like she's never heard of anything like this before. Like, probably completely freaked her out. But she believed him. She believed it. And she's like, oh, like, didn't, I mean, I don't even think she understood it all. I mean, I can promise you she didn't understand it all. But she said, may it be unto me according to your word. And then later we hear that when her cousin Elizabeth was pregnant with John the Baptist, and she went to visit her, you know, and John the Baptist leaped within Elizabeth's womb, and was filled with the Holy Spirit, Elizabeth said to Mary, she said, blessed are you. Blessed is she who believed that what God said is going to come to pass. And I think there's just something about taking God at his word. Listen, there's all over this room, we are pregnant with prophetic promise. I promise you, the majority of the people in this room probably have at least 10 prophetic words over your life. Like, what if we just, like, asked God for the grace to attach supernatural faith to the promises of God that were spoken over our lives? And we just took God at his word. And because there's something about, like, just childlike faith that I think he just likes it. Like, it just makes God happy when we, like, say, okay, Lord, just strip me of my skepticism, strip me of all my religious baggage, and help me just come like a child before you. It's like, kids just believe. And listen, I don't think that we should be condemned if we have a lack of faith. You know, I don't think we have faith by trying to have more faith. I think we have faith by just falling in love with Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, and coming before him and being honest, saying, Lord, like, I believe, but help my unbelief. Like, I have a bunch of doubt, but I have enough faith to say, help me to have faith. And he likes honest prayers. So I believe that tonight, some of you are going to get ignited with a childlike faith all over again. And see, the other thing about kids is, like, they're just filled with awe and wonder, aren't they? There's just like, they're just like excited about life. It's like Autumn and Charlie, like sometimes Ann and I will just look at each other and we'll be like, they like love their life. And it's like, it can be like the simplest thing in the world. Like Anna, like the other day, like there's, I mean, if you go to our house, like it's crazy. Like when you have toddler twins, for those that don't know, we have 3.5-year-old girls, one on the way. And like our house, like there's just toys everywhere and crayons and they love art. Well, Anna like went out Because what happened was Charlie started going around the house. She said, can kids speak at church? And Anna's like, what do you mean? Yeah, they can speak at church. And she goes, I mean with a microphone. And we're like, yeah, sure, absolutely. So she goes, I'm going to use my notebook. And I'm going to tell them stories about our family. So Anna goes, awesome. But then like something happened to that notebook. It got wet or something. Oh, she threw up on it. She was sick. She threw up on her notebook. So she freaked out because there's vomit all over her notebook. So Anna went out and bought her a new notebook and in Autumn, a package of crayons. Well, it was like the best thing that ever happened in the world. She has a new notebook and Autumn, even though we have tons of crayons at her house, she got a new package of crayons. So I come home for the day and they run in there, like, daddy, I got a notebook. And Autumn's like, I got a package of crayons. I'm like, that's awesome. You know, and like, that's all they're talking about. And they're sleeping with their crayons. They're sleeping with their notebook. Like she'll play with their crayons. And then she'd be like, I want to put them back in the box now. I'm like, cool. She's like, can you close the box? I'm like, sure. She's like, I'm going to sleep with these tonight. I'm like, awesome. And she's like, they love life and they live life with just in this place of awe and wonder. Like every single morning they wake up ready for an adventure. Every single morning they're like, what are we going to do today? Like they're like this. They're like, what are we going to do? Because I'm sure it's going to be amazing. And the amazing thing is it doesn't even have to be that amazing. And they're amazed. We could be like, we're going to go in the front yard and find some cool leaves. You know, and they're like, yeah, you know what I mean? It's like you make stuff up and they get excited. But kids are filled with just such a wide-eyed wonder of just life. And like, don't even get me started on like the night before we were going to SeaWorld, into the water park at SeaWorld. Now we learned at Christmas time that we can't tell them it's Christmas Eve because they will not sleep. They're so jazzed, they're so excited. So it's not till Christmas morning we get to go into the room and go, hey, guess what? It's Christmas right now. And it's like, they're like, yeah! And they're like going downstairs and they're getting in their presents. But like if we told them the night before, like that would not be good for Anna and I. You know what I mean? And we did the same thing with the water park. We're like, girls, guess what we're gonna do today? They're like, what? We're going to go to SeaWorld. They're like, today? I'm like, right now. Like, get your shoes on right now. Not 30 minutes before, now, you know what I mean? The kingdom's here now, you know what I mean? It's not the not yet, it's now. It's right now. It's like everywhere we go, it's now. When you're in a coffee shop, it's like not later, right now God wants to touch you. Listen, Jesus said the kingdom of God, he said when you preach, say the kingdom of heaven is at hand. It's like it's so close, you can reach out and touch it. Like, what if we just lived our lives, like waking up in the morning, going, the kingdom's here now. Like, when I go to the work, the kingdom's there now. And we lived life with this wide-eyed wonder, like something amazing is going to happen today. Because, like, think about it. Like, the king of the universe, the same spirit that rose Jesus from the dead, like, lives in me. And I carry the kingdom everywhere I go. But I really believe like it's just like getting back. And like, I don't know about you. I'll speak for myself. Sometimes even in charismania and in Holy Spirit circles, it's almost like you can get familiar even with the supernatural. Yeah. But I never want to lose just my childlike wonder and excitement of what God's doing on any given day. Childlike before him. Listen, like when I get up and say, hey, we're gonna do testimonies now, and it like downpours, like just during testimonies, like we could go, probably just a coincidence. Or we could go, that's amazing. God likes testimonies. And he likes them so much, he's excited tonight, and he just winked at us a little bit and said, I love what you guys are doing down there. It's like just this simple childlike wonder. Listen, I really believe that those that see signs, wonders, and miracles on a regular basis are those that never get so familiar that they just get bored with the supernatural. It's like every time they do it. Listen, there's a reason they're called signs and wonders. They're signs that make us wonder. They're signs that make us go, God, you're amazing. Listen, every time you hear a testimony or a miracle, you have an opportunity to fix your affection on Jesus and go, Jesus, you're amazing. Like that's awesome. Like you're so good. It's an open door. It's an invitation. In Acts chapter 2, you know, we read about the early church. And it says this, in Acts chapter 2, verse 42, speaking of the early church, it said this. It says, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread, to prayer. Verse 43, everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. Like, that's an invitation to normal Christianity. Like, these things just becoming the norm, and us never, like, us, like, never, it's like Bobby Connor says. Bobby Connor says, sometimes we become way too familiar with a God that we barely know. And there's, like, there's so much more of him to be discovered, and I promise you, he's discovered by those who have a wide-eyed, childlike excitement and wonder of who he is and what he's doing in the earth today. And I believe God's given us an invitation to be just become more like children, like not comfortable with just doing church, like, but like always hungry for more. And I believe that there's a key that those that advance the kingdom are extremely thankful for everything we've had so far, but we're hungry for more. And the thing about kids, toddlers, it's interesting. When Jesus, like when this happened, they said, who's greatest in the kingdom? And Jesus says, and Jesus brought a little one to him. It's actually a Greek word, and I don't know if I'm pronouncing it right. It's paidion, P-A-I-D-I-O-N. And it literally means a toddler. Like a kid that was like right around 1 to 4 years old, like right around the age of Autumn and Charlie. It says he brought a toddler to himself, and he said, unless you become like a little toddler like this, you know, you won't even be able to enter in. And I really believe the thing about toddlers is, like, you know, Kelly could, you know, teach a lot better on this than I could, but because she studies like brain science and all that. But people will tell you, like specialists will tell you, experts will tell you, that the age between like 1 to 4 is like the most important stage of a child's development. Between like 1 and 4, both like emotionally, socially, just mentally, developmentally, like that age between 1 to 4 is the most important. It's interesting that Jesus said, unless you become like this, you're not going to be able to experience more of the kingdom. And I really believe there's something about us positioning ourselves in humility before God that we like never think we've arrived. But we actually believe that I am always at the most critical stage of my development when it comes to God. Because here's the deal. So many times what we think we know keeps us from what we have to know. Too often, what we think we are so sure about will actually keep us from all the new revelation and insight that God actually wants to release to us. And here's the deal. I believe becoming like a child is being awakened to holy curiosity. Yes. Like a holy curiosity. Like, think about it. Like Ephesians 3 says, now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all you could ask or think. Like, I don't know about you, but I can ask or think pretty big. Another place says, eye is not seen, ear is not heard, the things that God has prepared for those who love him. Again, I don't think that's talking about some distant by and by when we get to heaven. I believe it's now. Eye is not seen, ear is not heard. So what if, like, we're just awakened to this, like, holy curiosity of encountering more of the Lord? Like, and the thing about kids is, like, Autumn and Charlie are in this stage where they like ask us 50,000 questions a day. Like it started out like their thing, especially Autumn, when she was like, I don't know how old. It's like everywhere we went, she'd go, what's that? What's that? What's that? What's that? What's that? And it's like, it was funny. It's like, it was kind of the ongoing joke. Like if we were like just hanging at Joey and Kelly's house, like she would go, like not just once, she'd go, what's that? What's that? What's that? What's that? We're like, it's a cup, you know? It's a cup, Autumn, it's a cup, sweetie. And you go, what's that? What's that? What's, you know, it's like, but now they've moved on. And now it's like, you're just driving in the van with them. And it's like 50,000 questions. Does green mean go? Yes. Does red mean stop? Yes. What does pink mean? We're like, it means pretty. You know what I mean? It's like, does this, and they're like 50,000 questions a day. Like we need to like really almost, like, but they're so inquisitive. And I really believe that part of becoming like a child and accessing more of the kingdom is just being like that before our Heavenly Father. Like, Lord, what do you want to reveal to me today? Listen, Proverbs 25 says this. It says, it's the glory of God to conceal a matter. It's the glory of kings to search it out. We have the honor of searching out just the riches of the mysteries of the kingdom of God in the here and now. Like that's, and I promise you, if you approach the Bible with that type of mentality and childlike on wonder, like you will unlock a spirit of revelation. If you're like, okay, God, I'm going to read through Proverbs, and I might have read through it 100 times, but I believe that today I'm actually going to see something and get revelation that I've never seen before. And I believe that if we will even approach Scripture like a child, inviting the Holy Spirit to teach us, to unlock truth, to unlock revelation, say, Lord, just bring a spirit of revelation right now. I just want to know you more through your word. I'm telling you, he will just start, things will start popping out to you. You'll start getting revelation. He'll start to connect things. It's like, this happens when I like prep for messages and I'm not even like trying. It's like, okay, I feel like I'm supposed to teach on childlikeness. So I might not even be like looking for it. It's just revelation just starts. But the thing is, it's like, I have an inquisitive heart before the Lord. And I really believe the Lord just wants to like unlock this, like this holy curiosity. And here's the deal. It's really important that we believe, I said this, but we need to like approach God like a novice every single time. Like as like, a hungry student, never thinking that we've arrived. Because again, oftentimes what we think we know will keep us from what we need to know. And the Lord wants to awaken holy curiosity. Proverbs 8:34, it's in the Passion Translation. Listen to this. Proverbs chapter 8, verse 34. If you wait at wisdom's doorway, longing to hear a word for every day, joy will break forth within you as you listen for what I'll say. Way to go, Brian Simmons. It even rhymed that time. And Proverbs 8:34, Proverbs chapter 8, verse 34. If you wait at wisdom's doorway, longing to hear a word for every day, joy will break forth within you as you listen for what I'll say. And God just wants to just awaken this holy curiosity. See, the other thing about kids, and I think this is so important when it comes to the kingdom, is kids, like, I don't know about your kids. Our kids are, like, super, super quick to forgive. Everybody say forgiveness. Like, it's crazy. There's this prophetic guy in our city. I won't say his name. He's kind of from a different stream, but he's known as, like, a prophet in some streams. And somebody in our church invited me. It was actually Gary invited me to have lunch with this guy. And I'm like, lunch with a prophet? Absolutely. Not my stream. Who cares? And I'm just going to go and I'm going to, you know, and I'm really just there getting to know him. And he's you know, and he knows some other people that I know. So I've been hearing about him. So we're sitting down, we're having lunch. And just in conversation, like I show him a picture of our girls. This is like a couple years ago now, right? I showed him a picture of our girls and he starts prophesying over Autumn and Charlie. Didn't even ask him to. He just starts prophesying over them. And like a little bit outside of our culture in that he's like kind of not afraid to say some negative things maybe. So I had to flush a few things maybe. But one thing that he said, he goes, they're going to get along and then they're going to fight and then they're going to get along and then they're going to fight. They're going to get along. And it's like, it's going to be kind of the norm. I mean, that's probably normal among kids anyway. It probably doesn't take a prophet to say that. But like, it's really true. Like really, really true. Like within one day, like they could have five different like disputes that include taking each other's toys, hitting each other, pulling hair, and sometimes biting. But here's the deal: they can do it like five times in a day, but they're immediately friends after it happens. It's like one of them comes to us, oh, I'm pulling my hair. I'm like, you're not supposed to do that. They're like, okay, and then they like go like, and they're best friends again. Like it's like they're fight. It's like the word is actually true. It's like they're fighting, and they don't. But they're just so quick to forgive. It's like they just forget quickly and move on. But here's the deal: they're like that with Anna and I too. Like it's actually really sweet. Like there's times where like I might be tired, I come home or I'm putting them to bed and Charlie doesn't want to go to bed and she's kicking and screaming and like I might yell or I get frustrated and you know and like and you know I might do something that was I shouldn't have done and I'll go back to her and I'm like, Charlie, Daddy's so sorry. Like I got frustrated and I yelled at you. She goes, it's okay, Daddy, and she's like squeezes my neck. Like just so quick to forgive. Like I think we need a little bit more of that in the church. I think we need a little bit more of that in the body of Christ that we are quick to forgive and move on. Because kids, it's just like they have pure hearts. And they don't hold bitterness and grudges. It's funny. The other day, Autumn, like, she's at an age where she, like, gets into things, like, really quick. She knows how to open the fridge. She knows how to get on a stool and get up into the cabinet. Like, we have to be really careful because the other day, was it yesterday or the day before? Yes, yesterday. She got into the fridge and got a bottle of powdered probiotics and ate half of the bottle of probiotics. So that Anna like calls me at work. She's like, babe, Autumn just ate half a bottle of probiotics. I'm like, well, is she okay? She's like, I don't know. We're like, what's gonna happen? Like, she's just gonna have to go to the bathroom a whole bunch. Like, what's gonna happen? But so she got, like, Anna disciplined her, like, not like severely, but enough to know, like, this is dangerous, Autumn, and you can't do this. So I come home and I'm like, Autumn, and I'm talking to her about what she did. I'm like, baby, how do you feel? She goes, mad. It's like, that's not what I was talking about at all. I go, how do you feel? She goes, mad. She goes, because her mom just disciplined her. And I was like, but even though she was mad, like in a moment, she was like up on her mom's lap and just loving her. Because kids are just so quick to forgive. By the way, they're also really honest about how they feel. She's like, how do you feel? She's like, mad, but I love you. Come here. You know what I mean? So what if in the church we developed a mindset? We didn't mask our feelings. We didn't just try to hide. We were honest about how we feel, but we were also quick to forgive, because being childlike is having a pure heart and actually forgiving the person that offended us. Listen, one of the things that I really believe can block access to the kingdom, signs, wonders, miracles, breaking out all around us, the joy of the Lord, is harboring bitterness and offense towards somebody that offended us. Listen, I promise you, you will be offended in the body of Christ. The question is, how quick will you forgive them? And it says this in Colossians chapter 3, starting in verse 12. You are always and dearly loved by God, so robe yourself with the virtues of God, since you have been divinely chosen to be holy. Listen, be merciful as you endeavor to understand others, and be compassionate, showing kindness toward all. Be gentle and humble, sounds childlike, unoffendable in your patience with others. Verse 13, tolerate the weaknesses of those in the family of faith, forgiving one another in the same way you have graciously been forgiven by Jesus Christ. If you find fault with someone, release the same gift of forgiveness to them, for love is supreme and must flow through each of these virtues. Love becomes the mark of true maturity. I believe we're maturing into childlikeness. And I believe maturing into childlikeness means that we have hearts that are quick to forgive. Listen, if you're here tonight and you have unforgiveness towards somebody, and one of the ways you know you have unforgiveness towards somebody, I'm not speaking from experience, I totally am, is like you'll like kind of ever like kind of role play in your head of what you'd like to say to them. Yeah. Or it's like you're just kind of like, you can feel it, or you can feel it churning. I'm telling you, don't let that thing grow and fester. Deal with it either before the Lord or go to them, but be quick to forgive in your heart and move on, because it's only gonna hurt you. And it's only gonna block access to seeing the kingdom flow in and through you and really experience peace and joy in your life. Does that make sense? You guys doing okay? All right. I'll close with this. And I know you guys are going to like this one because I know this church. Kids know how to have fun and just enjoy life. Everybody say fun. Like, fun needs to be one of our core values. John 10:10 in the Passion says this: a thief has only one thing in mind. He wants to steal, slaughter, and destroy. But I have come to give you everything in abundance, more than you expect, life in its fullness. Listen, until you overflow. I really think that, honestly, sometimes one of the most spiritual things that we can do is just learn how to lighten up, enjoy life, and have fun. Like, some people in the church are just, like, too serious and intense and just not fun. Like, Jesus was fun. Like, I really believe. Like, I think Jesus, when he walked the earth, like, played pranks on the apostles. Like, I think he probably, like, would grab Peter and, like, give him a noogie. Maybe a wedgie. I don't know. It's like, I think Jesus, when he walked the earth, just knew how to have fun. And by the way, I think one of the reasons that the Pharisees and the religious leaders didn't like Jesus is they just didn't know that you could walk with God and enjoy life. They didn't know that, that we're called to an abundant life. And I really believe that part of being childlike is just like enjoying life and every day being an adventure. Every day being like, what's going to happen next? And living life with the wide-eyed wonder of a kid. And just like lightening up and enjoying life. Like, have you ever noticed that throughout the Old Testament, there's way more feasts than there were fasts? Some of you are like, thank you, Jesus. You're like, I knew I was supposed to go to Torchy's tonight. That was confirmation. Like, listen, there's like at least 7 different feasts. Like, there's the Feast of Booths, the Feast of Unleavened Bread, the Feast of Tabernacles. Like, there's all these feasts. Like, there are, they do fast sometimes, but there's a much greater emphasis on fasting in the Old Testament. I think it says something about the nature of God. I think it's because the kingdom of God is not moved forward through self-deprivation. It's moved forward by those who have tasted and seen that he's good and actually know how to enjoy life and live life to the fullest. And I just think there's an invitation for us to just like experience the fullness of the kingdom in our emotions, in our spirit, in our relationships, like in our workplace. Like, could you imagine actually just loving your job? Like, imagine that. It doesn't mean it's not going to be hard work, but just like going to work with the attitude, like, I'm doing this under the Lord, not in a weird religious way, but in a way like, no, I'm actually going to provide and I'm going to kill it today. I'm going to get a ton of sales today. I'm going to rocket this today. I'm going to encourage people and I'm going to be amazing today. And I'm going to enjoy what I do. But there's just like this invitation, I really believe, for us to just like, and that's the thing about kids, man, is just like every day, it's like we laugh, it's like Autumn and Charlie, they genuinely want to be entertained 24/7. And we actually need to train them a little bit out of that. Like, listen, mommy and daddy aren't going to play games with you or color with you or let you watch a cartoon at every moment. Like, you need to learn to entertain yourself. You know what I mean? And they're doing that and they're playing really well together. But my point is this, kids just, they're filled with joy and just excitement about life. And Joey was talking about it earlier. Like, this is where he was preaching part of my message. Like, in Nehemiah 8, it does say the joy of the Lord is our strength. You know, studies show that kids laugh on average like 400 times per day. And studies also show that by the time they become adults, they laugh an average of somewhere, I don't remember the exact figure, it's something like 11 or like maybe 16 times a day. And I like to propose to you that like that's not a good thing. And I think part of being childlike is just learning how to have fun, learning how to laugh, and honestly tapping into this thing called the joy of the Lord. Listen, in Romans 14, verse 17, it says this, for the kingdom of God is not a matter of rules. Let me start over. For the kingdom of God is not a matter of rules about food and drink, but is in the realm of the Holy Spirit, filled with righteousness, peace, and joy. The kingdom of God, other translations say, the kingdom of God is not about food and drink, but about righteousness, peace, and joy. Listen, you've heard this, but I want to say it again. The kingdom is, or joy is actually 1/3 of the kingdom of God. So part of accessing more of the kingdom and aligning ourselves with the kingdom is just really becoming like more joyful people, or better yet, tapping into the joy of the Lord. Like actually cultivating a sense of God's presence in our lives that manifests in joy. I'll say it again. One of the reasons the Pharisees hated Jesus, I believe, is because he was filled with joy. He was fun. And you know, the scripture actually tells us that Jesus was the most joyful person on the earth. It says this, listen, in Psalms 45, verse 7, talking about Jesus, it's a prophecy concerning Jesus. It says this, you love righteousness and hate wickedness. Therefore, God, your God, has anointed you with the oil of gladness more than your companions. Like, Jesus was just so, like, he was a happy Jesus. He is a happy Jesus. Like, Bill says it all the time. Like, God is in a good mood. Like, and sometimes we need to align ourselves and align our hearts and our spirits with the mood that God is in and that he's good. He's in a good mood. It doesn't mean he doesn't grieve over injustice. It doesn't mean that his heart isn't broken by things. But I believe God, in his godness, knows how to grieve over those things, but also be extremely joyful and happy about things at the same time. He's God. He can do that. But joy is one third of the kingdom. And I just want to read this one excerpt from one of Bill Johnson's newest books called The Way of Life. And it says this on page 136. This is an awesome book. I'm almost done. You might want to check it out. But listen to this. He said, children probably learn more through play than in any other time of life. This is where they learn. This is where they learn that learning is fun and that taking risks is part of life. They are driven to climb higher, run faster, and yell the loudest. Riding bikes is fun, but seldom do they leave it at that. They try to ride up ramps and sail through the air. They lift the front wheel off the ground and see how long they can ride on the back wheel. It's all part of play. It's all part of learning. Now listen to this. Laughter is a huge part of play, which distinguishes them from the adult counterparts. This should concern us. As Jesus said, we are to become like children. Learning to enjoy life and celebrate every part is so liberating. It actually releases us into our destiny and purpose. And there's this thing about joy. You know, again, studies show that you can take kids who are in the toddler stage, you know, between like even like 2 to 4 years old or 2 to 5 years old, and you can ask them to solve a problem while playing, and they'll solve a problem faster than a 10 to 12 year old will, sitting in a very serious, strict setting. Because listen, the joy of the Lord unlocks creativity, it unlocks strength, it unlocks creative thinking, problem-solving skills. Listen, Bill Johnson said this recently. He said it in this book, actually. It lined up great with what I was teaching. He said, if the joy of the Lord is our strength, all of us are only as strong as our joy. So joy is a really big deal. And listen, if you don't feel joyful, don't beat yourself up. Don't be condemned. Just say, Lord, I need more joy in my life. Help me to tap into your presence. Help me to tap into your love. Help me to tap into your kindness. And just allow the joy of the Lord. Listen, it's something that you can cultivate in your life. And listen, you know, joy, there are secular doctors who have actually prescribed watching funny movies to patients and have seen them physically healed. Because without knowing it, they've actually tapped into the proverb that says laughter does good like medicine. You want to be healthier physically? Like, watch some comedies. Like, yeah, go after physical healing. Get people to lay hands on you. But just cultivate a lifestyle of not taking yourself so seriously, laughing more, having fun. Get a hobby and enjoy life and see the kingdom come through you. So let's just stand where we are. Listen, I want to pray for us. And then we're going to have the ministry team to come up and pray for all those that need prayer. But I actually want to pray quickly for all four of these things. But let's do this. Let's just put our hand on our heart. And I don't know if we can have one of the musicians come up just to play for a minute while we pray. Wendy or Zach or somebody. If not, no worries. But let's do this. Let's just pray and invite the presence of God. Father, we just say that we love you and we thank you that you're here tonight. And Lord, I thank you for everything that you're doing just in and through this body, through this community, what you're doing in this city, for the healing, the miracles, the signs and wonders. We thank you that your kingdom is being released. But Father, we say that we're hungry for more. We're thankful, but we know there's more. Lord, let it continue. Not just here when we gather, but at work tomorrow morning and in the grocery store and in the restaurants and on the streets and in the marketplace. But Lord, we just humble ourselves before you and we just say, Lord, help us to become like children. And in your own way, I just want to encourage you to just like posture yourself before the Lord. Maybe you want to put your hand on your heart. You can kneel before him. You can come up here and kneel on the floor. You can do whatever you want. But just in whatever way you want to position yourself before the Lord, I just want to encourage you to humble yourself before him and say, Father, help me to become more like a child before you. Lord, help us to have the faith of a child. Lord, help us to just take you at your word and just attach faith to your promises, attach faith to just even dreams, Lord. I pray that even if there's dreams in people's hearts that have been lying dormant that maybe they've given up on, I pray that you would release a fresh childlike faith, wow, to believe you again for your promises all over the room. Lord, I pray that you would awaken the ability to dream really big with you. more, Lord. Just all over the room, just awaken hearts. Thank you, Lord. Father, I pray that you would just even awaken just a fresh awe and wonder. Lord, even that, just that excitement that we felt when maybe we first started following Jesus, or maybe when we first encountered the Holy Spirit, where every day we were like, I just can't wait to get alone with the Father. I can't wait to see what God's gonna do next. I pray that you would just awaken us to our first love in a childlike way. I pray that you would just restore awe and wonder to every single heart, God. Whoa. Thank you, Lord. I pray that you would awaken holy curiosity, God, all over the room. Father, I pray that you would break fear. Even a fear of pressing in and a fear of being disappointed again. I pray that you would break that off in the name of Jesus. Just put your hand on your head if you would. Father, I pray that you would just shift mindsets and that you would change our way of thinking. Whoa. To think more like kids. Lord, I pray even just paradigms or just intellectual strongholds, God, that would even just block our thinking. Lord, the mind is really, really important and it's really, really valuable, but God, we want to be led by our hearts. So Lord, I pray that you would just release a grace and a faith for us to be. Just remove anything in our mind that would block us from encountering more of you. Lord, even just reasoning and doubt and just analytical thinking, Father, that you would just calm all of that and you would just cause us to know you not just from the mind, but know you from the heart. Give us the mind of Christ. Rewire our thinking in Jesus' name. Lord, I pray that you would even just start to create new neural pathways in the mind to align with what you say, Lord, about us, about our destinies, about your promises, and even what it is that we can have access to in the here and now. And Father, I pray that you would awaken just a fresh grace to forgive others when we're hurt. And if there's anyone here, Lord, that is just hanging on to unforgiveness or a grudge or bitterness, I just pray that it would just be released right now. If that's you, just say, Lord, I give you my heart and give me a heart to forgive. Soften my heart toward that person. And then just begin to speak blessing over that person in your own way. Lord, I just pray that you would release that grace right now in Jesus' name. And Father, I pray that you would release just a fresh grace for us to enjoy life, to be filled with joy, to not take ourselves so seriously, and to just really live the abundant life with you. I pray that you would do it all over the room, Lord, right now, in Jesus' name. And this is what I want you to do. If you're comfortable with this, just put your hand on the person beside you and just begin to release just the joy of the Lord, that they would experience just a fresh touch of the presence of the Holy Spirit, and that they would partake of the joy of the Lord, that they would taste and see that he's good all over the room. All over the room. And just pray for them the way that you would want somebody to pray for you, that the Lord would just awaken childlikeness and even just a joyful anticipation for the kingdom of God to break out in and through them everywhere they go. So Lord, release that all over the room. The gift of childlike faith, the gift of joy, the gift of laughter, Father. A peace that passes understanding. Because kids don't worry about things. They just believe everything is going to work out. So Lord, would you release that all over the room? Just a faith and a childlike trust. Things are just going to work out. I have a really good father and things are just going to work out. I have a really good dad and he's going to take care of it all. I have a really good dad and I can cast my cares on him. I don't have to have it all figured out. I don't have to have the answers. I just trust that the Father is going to take care of it because he's a good father. And we say, Father, thank you for that. We receive it. We trust in you. And we say, Lord, make us more childlike. Help us to become more like you in Jesus' name. And Father, we just say that we love you and we thank you for it in your name. Amen. Let's just thank Jesus tonight. Let's just thank him.
And I'm gonna ask ministry team to come on up. And listen, if you want prayer for anything at all, it can have to do with what we talked about, or just something brand new you want prayer for. If you need healing in your body, come on up and get somebody to pray for you. Listen, if you're a first-time visitor or if you're just kind of new to Kingdom Life and you haven't got prophetic ministry yet, go see Sarah Hash at the very back. She's going to show you where to go. Besides that, God bless you. We love you, and we'll talk to you soon.